Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I'm your co-host, Andrew McPeak. And today we've got a little bit of a unique conversation. You know, we're always looking for leaders who are challenging norms, who are pushing boundaries, and who are finding new ways to reach and connect with and lead this emerging generation. And today we've got a conversation that I think is really exciting. Our Director of Strategic Partnerships, JT Toms, sat down with Chris Everett. He's the Director of Student Athlete Development at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. And what happened was they had an amazing conversation about the unique challenge of leading student athletes today. I think you're really going to love it. So let's listen in.
All right. I have got Chris Everett on the line. Chris, you are the Director of Student Athlete Development for the Charlotte 49ers, and you've done a lot in your career. You went from interning in an athletic department to working as an assistant in the ticket offices, although you've worked all throughout athletic departments. And now you are growing a prestigious, highly engaged Student Athlete Advisory Council. We're honored to get to interview you today, Chris.
Yeah, it's definitely my pleasure and honor to be doing this as well. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I've got to ask you this because it stood out to me when I was learning more about your story. I love that you're a former student athlete. You played football, is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, I did. I played at Western Carolina University.
Love it. And is it true, I was doing some research on you, is it true that during your college career, you never missed a game?
Yes. Outside of me breaking my radius and ulna my freshman year and missing that year, once I came back, I never missed a game after that.
Wow. I mean, it's just remarkable to me. I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Knowing that, it really makes sense as to how you do such an excellent job of putting high expectations on your student athletes. Because, I mean, for you, you lived them out, right? So as we jump into this, that gives me a lot more context. You're just a hard worker. But given work into perspective, tell our listeners a little bit about what you do and what some of the responsibilities are that you have there at UNC Charlotte.
To start out from the technical side of it, I'm the Director of Student Athlete Development. What that means is that I'm in charge of our student athletes developing into the best person that they can be. That's because I have no doubt in my mind that we have great coaches that are going to allow our student athletes to develop into the high caliber athletes that we know that they can be. We have great academic staff to make sure that they are on track to getting the proper degrees that they wish to have. And so with both of those two pieces taken care of, I'm here to make sure they're developing into total people, the total person. And so what I do with that, or how I do that, is through a community service, by getting them out into the communities, it's through life skills. We do a life skill credits here. And then outside of those technical things that I just told you with that, I help them develop into who they want to be by holding them accountable. Mm. And because I'm a former student athlete myself, I'm able to talk to them from the standpoint of, if someone says, oh, I don't have enough time, I can talk to them and say, well, when I was a student athlete, I was also on national SAC. I was on my conference SAC. I was on my campus SAC, as well as other campus orgs I was on because I was the president. So I did all of those things, as well as you alluded to, I was a football player who never missed a game. So that's a lot of things being juggled, not to mention when I was playing football, I also played offense and defense depending on the year. So I had a lot of things that were going on, and I had to be very, very strict with my time and make sure that I was scheduling everything the right way, especially just to make sure I still had free time to even have some fun. So I was able to do all of that. So when I'm able to tell them a real life scenario that they can kind of relate to, because I was a student athlete as well, but then also I can take it to the next level by saying, hey, and I actually live that out myself. I can talk to them and tell them that it's possible. And then I'm also able to kind of get into their mindset to know exactly what they're going through. So that real world connection helps me to push my goals forward with them and my vision with them.
Mm, gosh, I love that. I mean, what I'm hearing from you, Chris, is you. I love how you just addressed, there's the technical side, but there's actually, but let me tell you what I actually do. I mean, I think life skills directors, yeah, student athlete directors across the country, there is this, I don't know how to say it properly, this facade of, oh, all you do is SAC or all you do is, you know, resume workshops. And it's like, no, we're mm-hmm. actually responsible for developing the individual. I think that's everybody's role in the athletic department, but I think you in your position are doing something that's even more focused than maybe any other role. And you're so dedicated. And what I really also love is, I mean, you lived it. I mean, you were on three SACs, Chris. That's incredible. that's a lot. So I think you're able to speak with conviction and passion around, hey, I know you've got time constraints. I know what's going on. And in today's generation, student athletes are just so overwhelmed. It's probably helpful for them to hear from a voice like yours that can speak with conviction and experience.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I make sure I'm living it.
Yeah. Well, as I look at just some of the numbers that you've been able to do there, I know you're a numbers guy, but I think it's 2 years ago, on average, the Student Athlete Advisory Council only had 28 athletes who were engaged. Since you took over, you have more than doubled those numbers. Now, 59 people on average are showing up, are constantly engaged in the things that you're doing with community projects, SAC meetings, et cetera. And sometimes it's up to even 77. I mean, you're continuing to grow it and blow it up. I mean, how did you do it in such a short time, double those numbers?
Yeah, well, the easiest way to say I did it was being very strategic about our meetings. And what I mean by that is figuring out the best day of the week that we could get the most people at those meetings, which for us is Sunday night. And then even with that, sometimes you have to sacrifice some of your team for others. Like if there's one team that you know that they're going to bring people to the meetings as well as they're going to be engaged, over maybe another team that has a lot of numbers that never shows up, then I'm going to go with the meeting time that I can get the most people. And then, so that's just me just figuring out what day I'm going to do. And then when we have our meetings, I want our meetings to be no more than 1 hour because I think that's a little bit long for the attention span. Mm-hmm. So before I have my meeting, I have my executive board where we draw out, I call it our game plan. And we draw out our game plan to make sure we are done within 1 hour. And I send it out to everyone. Everyone looks over it. We make sure that we agree with everything on there. And then when we show up, we make sure we know everything that we're going to talk about. We used to waste a lot of time being in a meeting, going back and forth saying, oh yeah, I thought we were going to cover that. Oh yeah, we shouldn't cover that. When we went into the meetings, if it was not discussed before, then we are not bringing it up because our time is too precious and we want to get them in and out. And on top of it being an hour long meeting, we also try to squeeze in there about 15 minutes of us playing a little game. We have food at our meetings, as well as this year we started awarding a SAC member of the year. I mean, not of the year, of the month. So we also need to have our business as well as some things to kind of engage people. So by doing that, I think you can honestly say that our SAC meetings are actually experiences, just from the standpoint that there are different moving parts and they're not just sitting there the entire time. So we want them to be engaged from the standpoint of knowing what's going on within the athletic department. We want them to, that's from the general meeting part. By them playing games, they're engaged with their fellow student athletes, so they're building those relationships. And then when we talk about who's the SAC member of the month at these monthly meetings, then we're engaging them from the standpoint of, so we give them like some gear, where we give them a book bag, a hat. They get to choose if they want a bucket hat, a baseball cap, or a visor. And then they get about four pairs of socks. Kind of find out student athletes love good Nike socks. So we present that at the meeting. And like I said, so we engage them in all the different levels, as well as people love free gear. So then they're kind of like, the gear is kind of at the end. And at that point, they're like, well, how can I get more gear? And then that's when we can start throwing out there like, all right, well, here are some of the requirements. If you want to continue to be in SAC, some of these numbers we want to hit, like our 10-10-10 number that we have out there for them, as well as just trying to push them forward and just be the best they can be. But it's just about making that SAC meeting more than a meeting, but an experience that they're able to engage on so many different levels. And it makes them want to ask questions about how can I do more? How can I get more? How can I be more involved?
Man. Okay. First of all, if you're listening to this, press pause, rewind, and listen to everything he just said again, because that was complete gold. I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you, Chris. There's so much to unpack. I took a couple of notes as we were talking, from being prepared to not jump around, knowing exactly what you're talking about. Your time is valuable. You know, I think most of the time, as we look at it, different life skills directors and student athlete directors, it's so easy to get caught up in reactionary mode. We're on our heels. We're reacting. Mm-hmm. We're trying to, balance with as the wind blows, instead of pointing the fans in the direction we want to go and letting our meetings be run by a motor rather than relying on the wind. Right. And you're a well-oiled machine. But, you know, oftentimes when you get into that structure of, hey, this is what we're covering, our time's valuable, it's easy to have a mentality of transactionalism. But what I love is you're very intentional. You're saying, no, we're not trading efficiency for effectiveness. You're saying, I want to be effective, not just efficient. So you're saying that we're going to have fun. We're going to have food. We're going to have games. We're going to have awards. We're going to laugh and have engaging conversation. We're going to move around, but it's going to be for a reason. I love that.
Correct.
The other things that I love too, is just hearing you mentioned the 10-10-10. I'm going to get to that here in a little bit, but just how you've said, I don't view it as a meeting. I view it as an experience. Tell me more about that, because that stands out to me.
Yeah, so for me, it being an experience, it just comes down to the point that when I think about my first SAC meetings when I was a student athlete, I think about how it was just to sit in that meeting room and just look at everything that was going on. Do you start to get bored? You start looking at your phone. You start thinking about what you're going to eat afterwards, your game plan for that week. There's just a lot that your mind can wonder and start looking around at and stuff. So by us having so many moving parts, to be honest, and making it an experience, it kind of keeps them engaged, because if they start looking at their phone or something like that, then they could very well miss out on something. And then when we give them the opportunity to, another thing I left out is we also give the teams, one person stands up and gives a very brief update about what's going on with their squad. So that's also something where they know that they're going to be called on, or at least one person from their team. So they kind of have to be ready for that. Mm. So it's something to kind of keep them on their toes with that point. And then when we're coming up with things that we're talking about, usually everything that we talk about is from a very engaging standpoint. If it's something, and when I say engaging, I mean like a community service event that they ask to be a part of, or maybe even an event going on campus, or maybe there's an issue that's going on within our department that I need their attention on. So I'll get up and be very intentional about it. Usually if it's something from the standpoint of an issue, I'll be the person that addresses it. But when everything else is being addressed, it's actually being done by my executive board members on my SAC. Mm. So with that, I'm developing my student athletes to have public speaking skills, to where they're up in front of a room of 40 to 80 people talking to them. So because we have that constant change of a student athlete getting up and talking, that's a different person. It's new blood. It's a new voice up there. So it's a new opportunity for you to engage with somebody else. So it may seem like a lot of moving pieces, but when you have a game plan and you have our very bright student athletes who are very capable of executing something like that, it makes it a very well-oiled machine in which people want to be a part of that. And some people, well, not some people, a lot of people give their generation a lot of flack about them being the participation trophy generation. Well, that's not always a bad thing. Why not grab onto that and really hone into that? So because they love participation trophies, that means they love to be seen. They love to be engaged, and they love to be recognized for things. So why not give them the opportunity to be recognized by having them get up and speak? Or why not engage in them by having them have the opportunity to be recognized by giving them a SAC Member of the Month award? So yeah. It's using things like that we all think are negatives, which is them wanting participation trophies, and giving our own type of trophy like that, but making it actually mean something and making them know the actual stats that they need to get in order to get those things.
Yeah, I love what you're saying.
I said a lot. Oh. It started rolling.
No, it's good, Chris. I mean, Dr. Tim Elmore, who is, you know, he founded Growing Leaders, is an expert on the next generation. You know, he often says people long to be a part of what they help create. And what you're doing is you're just inviting them into helping them create the SEC, helping them own it. And I just love how much attention to detail you have and intentionality behind what you're doing. It just sounds like you're not doing something just to do it. You've got a purpose for it. And you do that focusing on numbers. I mean, you're a numbers person. And I mean, you've used so much of your intentionality to say, well, this can't just be a good feeling, right? It's gotta have metrics behind it. Being a person of numbers, tell me, how have you used metrics and numbers to really influence what you're doing, to show your worth, to measure? How do you measure? How do you do metrics? Tell us a little bit about that, Chris.
Yeah. So, just the pure background for where that came from. I got my bachelor's and master's in entrepreneurship. And the thing that always sticks in my mind from my professors was that they, whenever we would tell them, we would use like descriptive words to say how a business was doing by saying it's doing good, it's doing bad. They would always say, well, what's that? And they would say, give me a number, give me a number, give me a number. So that's just grained into my head from that being my undergraduate and master's degree. But so when I first took over this role, the only real metric we had was that we required all of our student athletes to do 2 hours of community service per school year, as well as 6 life skill credits. Seniors had to do 4. And we documented everything that everybody did. And so they would submit those to the person who was running all of those numbers at that time. And then we would just make sure everybody hit those numbers. So as I started looking back over all the numbers we had from the years before me, there were so many just wide ranges from us having as little as everybody getting 2 hours, because pretty much everybody would get their 2 hours of community service. Then you would have a random person that would get 400 or whatever it may be. So I was like, is there a way that we can kind of get rid of there being such a wide range and try to get people to a certain level so that when we start building their resumes, then we have things that we can put on their resumes? I'm sure anybody listening to this that's working in college athletics, especially from a student athlete development standpoint, can tell you how when our student athletes become seniors, most of them, they only know to put on there the sport they played and if they had a job. Well, community service, as well as some big project that they may have done in the class, it can be something that while they don't have a lot for their resume, that they can put on there. So for me, I wanted to get them to the point to where we had these measurable numbers that you can put on there, where you could say my freshman year, I had 2 hours of community service. And then by the time I got to my senior year, I was averaging about 30 per year or something like that. And that's just me throwing something out there. I wanted to take it further than that 2 and 6 number. So I wanted to get to the point to where we could start enticing them to do more and having different levels and different levels of engagement that would actually make them be a little bit excited to do things. So it's almost like we have these different levels where, like, in order to be in SAC, anybody can come to a SAC meeting, but in order for you to stay at our roster at the end of the year when we carry over to the next year, then you have to hit our 10-10-10. So that would be 10 hours of community service, 10 life skill credit, and then our SAC this year added on this last 10 because they wanted to see more camaraderie. So they added on 10, you attending 10 ticketed sporting events. So what we arrived at the number 10, because if you look at all the months that we're in school, which is August to May, that leaves 2 that we're not in school. So that equals out to, if you were to do 1 hour community service, 1 life skill credit, and attend 1 sporting event every month from August to May, then that's us saying as a SAC member, you at least participated outside of your sport once every month. I think that's a very good baseline for us to say, if you're going to represent your team, then you need to be doing something like that. And then our next level outside of SAC, any student athlete. So in SAC, if you hit that 10-10-10, you get a SAC shirt. So outside of SAC, we have what we call the green standard. The green standard is our 16-16 plateau that you could hit. So that's 16 life skill credits and 16 community service hours. So if you hit that number, then what that equates to is, let's say if you use August, our first month back, if August is that month that you give them to kind of acclimate to what's going on in school, and May as well, since we're only really in school in May for about a week because we have finals and stuff, then you also give May another month that's kind of an off month. So that leaves us 8 months of the year. So if you were to do 2 life skill credits and do a community service event and get 2 hours for those 8 months, then that gets you to that 16-16 number. If you hit that number, do you get a little bit more year? And then our top level is the gold standard, and that's 25-25. Mm. So 25 life skill credits, 25 community service hours. What that number comes from is if I have a freshman here who does 25 hours of community service every year that they are here and they hit gold standard, then when they graduate, they would be able to say that I did 100 hours of community service while I was an undergrad, while I was maintaining a 2.9 or 3.0 or whatever their GPA is, as well as everything else that I may have been doing. I did 100 hours of community service. It's a pretty impressive number just to see on that resume, thinking about everything else that they had to do. So that's where like those numbers come and how I arrived at them.
Mm, gosh, I just love that. I mean, the things that you're doing just scientifically, you know, as we kind of look at the research of this generation, they love achievements, right? Being able to earn something, you know, and I love them, right? I mean, I love being able to move through. I mean, we think of this generation sometimes as kind of like the video game generation, right? That there's always getting points, feedback, et cetera. And as you mentioned earlier in the podcast, you said, you know, some people can view that as a negative, but we can actually use that as a strength, right? And use that as a way to say, all right, well, let's set up a system where they can earn points, they can earn prestige, they can start to really develop themselves by simply setting up very clear, well-defined boundaries and tiers that they can hit. I just think that's brilliant how you've done that there. And Chris, we're going to learn more from you at the Roundtable for Athletics. If you are listening to this and you're saying, man, tell me about this Roundtable for Athletics. If you want to learn more, you can email us at impact@growingleaders.com. That's impact@growingleaders.com. Chris, I can't wait for you to be here. Can't wait for people to learn from you. Thank you for all that you're doing with student athletes. And we're excited to see the impact that you make.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with JT and Chris. I know I did. As you were listening, maybe you identified with some of the experiences that Chris has had, some of the challenges that he has faced trying to lead the next generation. And I want to tell you about an event where you can actually meet Chris and learn more about how to overcome this challenge, how to connect with today's generation. Dr. Elmore and all of our team invite you to attend the 2018 Roundtable for Athletics. This exclusive forum is designed for senior associate athletic directors, senior women's administrators, program directors, and anyone else in charge of college student athlete enhancement programming. And it's designed to better help you understand the secrets of student athlete development. We know there's a lot of challenges when it comes to leading the next generation. And what we're trying to do is create a forum, a round table, where you can meet other people who have your position and sort of get some of the best practices from Dr. Elmore and from our team, other leaders around the country about what it looks like to lead these students well. I hope you can attend. To find out more information about it, just go to our website, growingleaders.com, and click on events at the very top, and you'll see the Roundtable for Athletics there. As always, we invite you to follow us on social media. You can find at Growing Leaders on Twitter and Instagram, and you can find at Tim Elmore on Twitter. If you have ideas for this podcast, different people that we should talk to, different ideas for subjects we should talk about, please send us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. We love hearing from you, getting your suggestions, and really making good on those. Thanks so much for joining us and listening in. We'll see you next time.